It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And this time of year, January, is a bit of a slow season, but there are some signs of spring that are going to be coming your way. And I'm going to mention a few today. One, woodpeckers are going to be drumming. I heard some downy woodpeckers at my house echoing back and forth. There were two of them, and they were separated by a reasonable distance, according to my ears. But one would send out a little staccato note, and the other would reply. It was like listening to a couple of Morse code operators talking to each other. It wasn't that friendly, however. Those guys were saying, "Hey, this is my territory. I don't think that you'd be wise to stick around here, so clear out." And so listen for the drumming of the woodpeckers. It won't only be the downies, the hairies, the pileateds. Everybody's going to get in the act. Everybody's going to be staking out territories. The interesting thing is that you can have a downy, a hairy, and a pileated all living in the same territory and not fighting with one another over the resources, because they exploit different niches within the environment. So you can have three different species of woodpeckers on the same territory. You just can't have two of the same species in the same territory. If a downy and a downy tried to live in the same zone, they would come to blows or something similar, whatever passes for blows among woodpeckers, drumming, I guess, and that would sort of drive them apart. The other sign of spring that comes along this time of year, one of the signs of spring is the Phoebe song of the chickadee, and that is simply a two or three note song that the chickadees begin to sing in December and January. And the whole idea there is that as the days begin to lengthen, the chickadees begin to feel these hormonal urges to disband the flock that they've been living in and select a mate from among the other chickadees. And they begin that with this call that is sort of a Phoebe, Phoebe, tune that you'll be able to hear if you're out and listening. Ed Dallas said that down in Deerwood on the 4th of January, they were singing that song. I've been out quite a bit in the last week and have not yet heard them in my area. That doesn't mean they're not calling yet, but I'm just not in the right spot for them. We started the year, New Year's Day, with 22 below zero at my house and 14 inches of snow on the ground. And that has decreased markedly over the last couple of days due to the very warm temperatures that we had here. And that made the snow, well, it reduced its fluffiness by quite a bit. And I got out and did a lot of snowshoeing in the last 4 or 5 days and packed down a lot of trails. So I'm hopeful now that I can get out and do a little cross-country skiing on top of those trails that I've made. Another sign of phenology for the new year are the calls, the hooting chorus of the great horned owls. And they are actually getting ready to mate. They will be talking to one another and calling out. Males and females will be talking back and forth, and eventually they will settle on a nest. And they will then begin to raise their young. And when the great horned owls settle on a nest, it's generally one that they have found: raven's nest, a crow's nest, a red-tailed hawk nest. They don't really care. They don't build a nest themselves. They just take over a nest that another bird has already built. They refurbish it a little bit, and then they move in. And they will begin to talk to one another this month. So listen carefully for that. It's always an encouraging sign, and not one that occasionally I hear them around my house. I used to have a pair that lived in the area, and I am not sure if they're still in the area. Again, it's one of those things where you need to be outside at the moment that they're actually calling to one another so that you can hear them. But that is another sign of spring. A third sign of spring and another early nester. The great horned owl is a really early nester. A third sign of spring, or another sign of spring and another early nester, are the ravens. And the ravens are demonstrating their suitableness as mates. Now, generally, you'll have a pair of ravens and maybe one or two of last year's offspring or two-year-old offspring that are with them to help them out to be attendants to these two that will control the territory and mate. And others will be trying to establish this. Three-year-old ravens are getting to be sexually mature, and they'll begin to do some pair bonding and flying in close association to one another, or separating, and one bird will fly up quite high and then dive at the other one. And all of these things are sort of designed to help the female select a mate. And I can only assume, I don't know, but I can only assume that evolution has given the female some kind of an ability to assess the suitableness of the male as a mate, because the ravens have been remarkably successful over the eons, and I expect that their success will continue. And part of that success is involved in selecting an appropriate mate, a mate that can provide for the female. Oftentimes the female, because once she begins to lay eggs and brood them, she will be confined to the nest. One of the things that she does this time of year is she acts the role of a fledgling and expects her mate to bring her food. So she pretends to be a fledgling, and she expects her mate to then bring her food. And part of the reason for that is that if he is attentive and successful at bringing her food through this period where she's acting the part of a fledgling, it gives her the confidence to select this bird as a mate and then begin the process of brooding or laying eggs and brooding those eggs. And she knows, because of her experience with this male, that he will be a good provider for her. So that is something that the male and female work out amongst themselves. And as I said, this is obviously something that has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. And their behavior is unusual this time of year and quite noticeable if you're watching them. And if you are watching them, understand that this is part of their effort to reestablish contact with one another and find a suitable mate for the ongoing process of family development. Around my house, first of the year, little inventory of the birds: red-breasted nuthatches, white-breasted nuthatches, dark-eyed juncos, white-throated sparrow, a single white-throated sparrow, chickadees, blue jays, downy, hairy, pileated woodpeckers, an occasional red-bellied woodpecker, though I haven't seen him yet this year. I would expect that he is probably over at the neighbor's, but one only can speculate about such things. He comes intermittently. Another sign of spring that I have been noticing over the last week or so, and perhaps it's just wishful thinking on my part, or maybe it is an actual occurrence, But it seems to me that certain species of willows are beginning to become more colorful. And as I said, this might be that the background is, you know, lacking in a lot of the colors, the warm colors, the oranges and the reds that that I'm starting to see on some of the willows. But we'll be watching them throughout the spring. And as we move into longer and longer days, we will see more and more change in color among the willows and the dogwoods, especially. The other day we had, we've had a long period of warm temperature, and that was brought about by a long stretch of southerly winds. And those southerly winds brought a lot of things to the surface of the snow. And my snowshoeing hikes over the past week have really been exciting in the sense that I have seen a lot of items deposited on top of the snow that I was a bit surprised about. Among them, the last Norway pine needles that are finally getting ripped off of the trees, lots of white spruce and balsam fir needles that are falling to the ground. I found some red maple seeds. Now, this is way out of season for red maples, and the only thing I can think of is that these seeds were somehow caught up in the trees, and with these south winds, they were dislodged and blown down onto the snow because this is certainly not the season for red maples to be throwing seeds. And these seeds are, you know, winged and easily moved, but at the same time, this is not at all the season where red maples would be dropping seeds. So I am assuming that these seeds are some that were tangled up in various bits and pieces of foliage or limbs or someplace and found their way to the snow. The other seeds that I'm seeing on the snow in huge numbers are the birch seeds. Now, there are two features that come along with birch seeds. One is the bract, which looks to me like a bit like a sort of a four-pointed, like the track of a bird. And they're larger, maybe up to a quarter of an inch in size. And I guess another way of looking at them would be sort of like the fleur-de-lis, the iris that is represented in a lot of French military art. The fleur-de-lis has this same shape, and this is the bract. This is the part of the catkin that holds the birch seed that was actually holding the seed. And the seed itself is kind of bronzy, tan color, and it's got a wing all the way around the seed, and the seed itself is very small, smaller than the head of a straight pin. And if you look and you see these kind of four, think of like a duck's foot or a bird's track or something like that, these little four-pointed structures that are the bracts, if you look amongst the bracts, you'll find the seeds. They're much, much smaller. And takes a little investigation to pull them out of that morass on top of the snow. The other thing that I'm seeing in the right situations, and just about everywhere I've been, there are birch seeds. But in the right situations, when I get down near the edge of the swamp or the lake, the speckled alders are dropping their seeds as well. Now, the speckled alder seed is much darker, a little bit larger than the birch seed, but coffee brown, very, very, very dark brown, and not at all like the light color of the birch seed, but winged as well, and the seed is fairly small. Now, the speckled alder, the tag alder, has that little tiny, it looks like a pine cone, about a half inch long, dark, dark brown pine cone, and that is the female flower of the speckled alder, and this is the time of year when they begin to drop their seeds. Among my other observations, I saw a flock of cedar waxwings this week. They were on the river road moving from one fruit tree to the next. And as is their habit, they were all flying, facing sort of, they were coming into this apple tree to, I suppose, begin to consume some of the apples. And they were all flying in the same direction. So they were all facing into the wind, which is the habit of waxwings when they're flying about. They come into land by sort of lining up the way an airplane would on an aircraft carrier and sort of fly into the wind and come down to land. So lots of stuff going on out there. Lots of seeds on the snow, which make it really interesting to be out and walking around right now. While I was walking around yesterday, I was startled as a bald eagle swooped over my head. And I heard it first. It was that low. I could hear the wind in its wings. And I looked around and it was pretty much right over my head. And I was very near the old eagle's nest. They've had a nest in a aspen tree that up until about 3 years ago, they were active in it. And they have abandoned it now for another nest, a little, maybe a quarter mile further away in a white pine. But I think this eagle must have been in that nest because the direction it came from and the fact that it was so low, almost in the trees as it went overhead, I think that it may have been hanging out in that old nest. And then last night, the dog and I were out just before heading to bed, and we could hear the coyotes having a sing-along last night. It was pretty exciting, always fun. Dog perked up her ears and kind of looked around like, what the heck is that? I don't know if she recognized it as, the call of some of her relatives or not, but it was a pretty stirring moment for both of us. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Oh, one final note. Laura, who lives in Northeast Grand Rapids, is hearing the chickadees in her neighborhood singing the Phoebe song. So they have begun, and it is now in your court. Get out there and make sure you hear them as well. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in.